Guru, you could take Lil Neil. Let me tell you why. Because number one, you know your body, you know your training. And we're not talking about tackling. We're not talking about extra yardage. We're talking about a straight run.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, it is time for the crossover. Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs. Guru had a duck out. He's getting that caddy picked up. So what's going on? What did you think of Lynchy yesterday and Shanny?
Oh, Lynchy.
Yeah, big responsibility for you today.
How so?
You got to be two people now.
Yes, which means you got to stay twice as long. Yeah, I think it's the way that works.
And I'm super bummed that Goo's not here because I wanted to say something to him about this race with Lo Neal. I wanted to say something to him directly, and I hope it would help him understand because Goo, as we all know, we love our Goo. He takes things very, very personally. And I don't think people are not believing in Goo. Like, he thinks he's being disrespected, right?
Exactly.
No one's disrespecting Goo. It's that we feel he's disrespecting professional athletes. Yes. Professional athletes are out of this world.
Even former ones who are in their mid-50s.
It is a different animal completely. Anyway.
No, it is very different.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say. I wanted to say it to him. But he's not here.
Unfortunately.
I'll tell him tomorrow.
And many thought that I was disrespecting Lo Neal when I went for a neutral sport to play him in one-on-one basketball. Well, and, you know, and it was less about disrespect, and it was more about my own hubris, much like Guru is feeling. We actually had Joe Lacob in studio for about an hour. Whoop. And at the end of it, my former partner, whose name escapes me, asked Joe Lacob who he picks, and Joe Lacob, matter of fact, he goes, you know, never seen either one of them play, but when I get into these questions, I'm just going to go with the former athlete.
Yeah, let's do that.
And I was like, it's pretty sensible.
Yeah, it is. Very sensible.
And I told him that I was more of a goober guy. And
that's I'm like, right, I remember that.
You know, and he looked at me, and I was like, uh-oh, I'm either fired or he liked it. And he started laughing. No, so I was like, whew.
It's funny.
Not
like
fired.
I'm more of a goober guy.
After he picked low, I'm like, that's okay. To be honest, I'm more of a goober guy.
He's fine with that.
Totally.
Like, he
got a big laugh out of it.
Yeah, I'm more of a Lacob guy. Goober's part of the Dodger group.
Yeah.
So
I used to do a goober, but not anymore.
An impression?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard him recently enough.
That's true. He lays low.
Yeah, I don't think people know him well enough for him to be impersonated.
Right. And I tell you, my goober's a solid four, but I'll save it.
I wish people understood. Like, please take this the right way. But when you impersonate Jason Barrett, I'm like, are there any listeners that have any clue what's happening here? It's funny to us,
right?
But like, do your Barrett so people know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like that is a guy who that was the program director when this station launched. That's microphone three. It doesn't work.
He's a slee stack, for those of you who remember.
All right.
It's kind of like the Nahegan impersonations where it became a caricature in and of itself with the look, 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 look. And I don't remember the last time he actually said look, look, look. But he used to do a thing, da-da-da. You know, you need to break on time. Have good guess, da-da-da. And so that became all part of the caricature, which now lives on its own.
Yeah. And my impersonation of Nahegan has no sound because it's just more of a look.
It's a look, look, look.
Yeah. So, like, it doesn't work on the radio. So, anyway, hi, Steiny.
When I close my eyes and think of Nahegan, I imagine him with the ear pods in and looking at his phone.
Do you close your eyes and think of Nahegan?
When I do.
Okay. What's that scenario?
He goes to sleep.
What's happening here?
Well, it's one of my verbal crutches I sometimes use where I'll be like, all right, just if you close your eyes and picture Kuminga's game, you don't see three-pointer or whatever.
Road,
you know,
all roads
like
lead to Kuminga.
Yep.
I should have said Jennings.
Pops, or Moody. Anyone. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, what are the conclusions we drew from yesterday?
That Juwan Jennings is in a contract dispute with the 49ers. And both sides are being very, very stubborn, and it has not been figured out yet.
And their stubbornness is more stubborn than his stubbornness, and so he's down to his last couple of options. It's either play or don't play. I don't think that there is more money afoot for Juwan Jennings.
Tell me if you agree with some of this stuff. There is no resolution at this point, obviously. They're not trading him.
Oh no, I believed that.
We're not doing that.
That was pretty definitive.
Do you think that rules out a possible trade in the next 3 weeks?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything out there on the trade market for him.
Probably right. Would you say the 49ers are obviously playing hardball with Jennings?
I don't think they're playing ball anymore.
That's kind of what I think. I don't even think they're talking anymore.
It went from hardball to what used to play on rainy days as a PE teacher, silent ball. Now they're playing silent ball.
Yeah. In a way, it's almost softball, which is, hey, Juwan, like, you hear how many times Lynch was like, either use the word onward or we're moving on,
yeah,
or we're not doing that. All those phrases to me sort of feel like the 49ers, they've talked this out with Juwan and Drew Rosenhaus for I don't know how many months, and they've come to their decision that this is what they are doing, and we're moving on. And they probably just looked at Juwan and said, you can either join us or not. The ball's in your court. We're not mad at you. Like, this is going to cost us nothing. So, like, love to have you out there. So we're going to go on about our business. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're kind of giving him the treatment that you give the kid who's having a tantrum inside Target, and you just start walking away. Are you coming home or not?
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Our go-to now, or my go-to for the past year,
yeah,
is
give it to me.
You ask Mila to do something, and she won't do it, and then I say, do you want to walk or be carried? So it's either A or B. And if it's Juwan, it's do you want to play or stay home?
Yep.
Because, you know, the other option, which in her case, my daughter, is I want a special treat. We're not having a special treat. You didn't have a good dinner. So do you want to walk or be carried? And usually she'll say walk, and then she won't walk, and then I'll have to scoop her up. I want to walk. All right. Then she walks. But with Juwan, it's do you want to play for the contract that you have, or do you want to not play? Do you want to walk or be carried?
I was, of yesterday, there were a couple things that I thought were interesting. One is, when I was here when it happened, you know, Kawakami asked Lynch, has he asked to be traded? And I was just expecting, we're not getting into that. And Lynch is like, yeah, he did. He a while ago. Like, and I looked at him and I'm like, man, Kawakami gets the answers. And his questions are they're legit.
Direct.
But it's like,
yep.
It's like he just gets that. I think if it's anybody else, Lynch may go, I'm not getting into that.
Might.
You know, because Kawakami's there all the time.
He's been here. He's paid his dues.
Yeah.
He's been here forever. He has their respect. Sure, he's going to get their answers. Although, he did ask that one follow-up that Don would not answer.
No.
When was the trade required?
Yeah.
I'm not getting into it.
Yeah.
Tim, who joins us, by the way, at 4:15.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked him, did it happen during camp? I'm not getting into that. Okay.
Yep.
Which means it probably happened before camp and during camp, and then again toward the end of camp, and maybe this morning as well. You know?
Well, you know, I was like talking to Goo about it, and he's like, God, man, 49ers didn't see this coming. And I was like, he didn't say it like that, but they had to know this at times last year, right? Like, the Jennings, okay, Ayuk goes through his thing. Do you believe Jennings was feeling a kind of way about that?
Last year?
Yeah, about what was going on with Ayuk.
Mooney Ward was. We know that.
No way to know, but remember, Juwan at that time had not done anything of note statistically in the
true.
League.
True, that's true.
Right? So I doubt it. Like, he signed it too.
Late May.
Signed it last offseason. So I got to think that he was actually feeling pretty good. Like, oh, they want me. And so let's do this. And then last year goes the way it goes. And now we're dealing with a whole new deal because now he's got numbers.
Right.
Now he's producing at like WR1/2 level.
You know how many yards he had 2 years ago?
Yeah, probably. I looked yesterday. It was, I think, 286.
Is it that low? I was going to say about 350.
He had 24 catches, more than half of which were for first downs,
yeah,
which is where the nickname came from.
Yep.
And I've been saying, Steiny, last year his numbers, they were what they were because he had a great year and he caught the football and he gained yards and stuff. But they were a byproduct of them throwing more than usual, Pearsall being shot, and Ayuk being hurt, and Debo having a down year. So this year, and I don't have it in front of me, but the over-under on Juwan Jennings' total receiving yards, it's not 975.
No.
It's probably closer to about 600.
Oh, and I'd take the under. I would take the under big time. I think that, again, I think that among the Niners' points, I think that's their point. Their point is what you did last year was wonderful. It was very circumstantial. This is not the plan. This is not what we're planning to have you do this year. We've got two other receivers who are first-round draft picks. You know, this is not what we see into the future, which is why we don't want to do some sort of a long-term extension. Yeah. So anyway, to answer your first question, I have to think no. I have to think that he was not feeling any sort of a weird way about Brandon. He was probably thrilled to get a two-year extension off of 280 yards. I would think.
Yeah. I mean,
don't you think?
Yes, but at some point, things changed. And I'm wondering, you know, like let's say halfway through the year, 10 games through the year, is he looking at his numbers saying, I'll tell you what, I'm not playing for 7-5 next year. Like, I'm going to catch for 1,000. Like, between when he signed and when he asked for a trade or a new contract, did he start to get disgruntled?
Somewhere between 975 yards and looking around the league and seeing what other wide receivers are getting paid.
Yeah.
That's got to be the answer.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco.
T. Higgins is a number two wide receiver. And in March of this offseason, signed a four-year, $115 million contract extension to be his team's number two. Now, he's probably the best number two in the league.
Right.
I'll grant you that. But if I'm Juwan Jennings and I put up 975 yards, and how many yards did T. Higgins put up last year? I know that there were some injuries.
Yeah, probably fewer, but no one would say that Juwan Jennings is a better receiver than T. Higgins.
Nobody would. No, but I don't think he's asking for 4 years and $115 million either. And you're so good at math. What is that?
About 4 and 115?
28?
It's about 28 and a quarter, I believe.
And he's only 26 years old. He's younger. Last year, T. Higgins went for 911 yards, less than Juwan Jennings.
In what, 14 games, if you have it there?
Actually, 12. Okay. Only 12
yeah,
games.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. But aren't you looking at that and going, I don't know, could I have half that?
You're allowed to.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
This is not Niners related, but it is the biggest story of the NFL offseason. The Cowboys are trading All-Pro Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers, and they agreed to a four-year, $188 million deal, including $136 million guaranteed. That's 100.
Wow.
That's $47 million per year.
Wow.
Kapow.
Is that a lot?
That sounds like a lot. Man.
Oh, my goodness.
That's almost Jimmy Butler money.
Somebody get Guru on the phone.
Where is Guru? What a moronic thing to do.
Which, what?
The Cowboys. What are you doing?
Let's not be so hey, let's wait to see what they get.
No, I don't care what they got.
What do you mean?
They just traded a young superstar defensive player when they suck on defense and have the highest paid player in the league who's their mediocre, oft-injured quarterback. They have no running game. They have no defense.
That should please you. What should worry you is now he's on the Packers.
Green Bay. What do they do? Oh, my God.
It's so funny because
he's such a stubborn
guru was saying, now they say they're going to trade him. They're not trading him.
They traded
it
him.
It was just a negotiating tactic is what we all thought. And then now, boom, I think Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport had it first. Maybe Tom Pelissero. I've seen everyone now weighing in with it. And, yeah, I don't know yet what the compensation package was, but you'd have to imagine it's at least three first-round picks.
It's massive. Yeah, they've said.
It's
massive package, yeah. TBD.
Exactly. And so, I mean, if you're Dallas and you don't want to pay him and you've made that decision, which I think is the wrong decision, you might as well trade him and get something for him if this is the direction you're looking to go.
I got to believe if you're a Cowboys fan, you are not happy.
How can you be?
Well, you could. Maybe you can. There's a possibility you could be happy in 6 months. Look at like the Boston Giants trade. apparently Boston was not happy about the Devers trade. Now they're what? So I mean, if
well,
that
Giants
was,
getting happier by the day, but still,
yeah, I know if you know if the Cowboys are good, and let's see what they get. But well, I gotta believe it's going to be a lot.
People are comparing it to the Herschel Walker deal. Yeah, I mean the Cowboys, and from, that's the only perspective where I would look at it and go, you know, 3 years from now, maybe what I just said will be wrong. Like the Cowboys do have a lot of needs, and so if they turn this into some unbelievable haul over the next 3 years, that's great. But in general, in sports, your homegrown stars need to be kept. Like
it's hard to argue with.
Yeah, the mark.
Yeah, really,
the mark to me of a healthy organization versus a not healthy. You know, let's talk about, for instance, teams in the baseball like the Marlins and A's who just keep bringing up good players, and then as soon as they're ready to get paid, they send them elsewhere. To me, that's the mark of an unhealthy organization. The opposite is when you draft correctly and have a good player, you're able to keep them. And so that's stunning to me that they let this get personal and now let him out the door.
Dallas has now seen two 26-year-olds traded, Micah Parsons and Luka Doncic, both. Thank you, Adam Schefter, for that.
Wow.
A couple of 26-year-olds, both traded this calendar year from Dallas. So tough time to be a Dallas sports fan when two of your biggest stars are on the move.
Interesting.
Waiting on that package, man. I'm scrolling right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting on that package.
And you'd figure,
holy smokes.
I mean, maybe the Green Bay side of it would come first, but when you think about, even if you want to think about how Dallas could win this trade, you'd be looking at, what, three firsts and three second-round picks or something on that order, that sort of a package. And as Steiny famously said, that's a damn good package.
That wouldn't be a bad one at all.
But dude, he got quarterback money.
Yeah.
Dude,
highest non-quarterback ever.
Yeah. He's only $5 million short of Brock. Huh.
Yeah.
The agent did the darn thing. That's an agent who gave good advice.
Right.
As opposed to some of the other ones that we've been discussing.
You mind if I ask you guys to weigh in on the Ostapenko-Townsend kerfuffle?
Absolutely. I was glad you asked me that,
okay,
because I don't know if you saw it, Mark, but U.S. Open match, Townsend beats Ostapenko, and they do the quick handshake, and now they're jawing at each other, and they go around the net, and they're still jawing, and Ostapenko, in this case, for me, was out of pocket. There was a point in the match where Townsend hit the ball off the net, the top of the net, and it trickled over. And the unwritten rule is you hold up your racket and apologize.
Them, right. You give like a little, you know, like, yeah.
Townsend did not apologize when that happened.
Okay.
Which, unwritten rules, I mean, there's so many of these in so many sports,
yeah,
but Ostapenko was mad, and she went on to berate Townsend, calling her things like uneducated. Townsend happens to be African-American. Ostapenko saying, you're uneducated, you're rude, and Townsend held her ground and incited the crowd behind her, the hometown crowd, and Ostapenko even said, like, oh, you can do that here. Wait till I catch you outside the United States.
In a match.
Perhaps.
Right, or not. Yeah, who knows?
But anyway, I thought that Ostapenko was out of line. Townsend didn't do anything to defuse it. She kind of ramped up the crowd, too. I thought it was a great moment for tennis.
Apparently Ostapenko's not a great sport.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I wonder how you think that.
Neither is tennis, but anyway.
Oh.
I'm kidding. It was an opportunity. I went for it.
So, Dibs. You know, here's the other thing. When people say, it's not even really an apology. All you got to do is hold your racket up.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
all you got to do.
It's kind of like when somebody lets you go first into the parking lot.
Yeah, you give them a wave.
You give them a wave.
Exactly.
Like, thanks for letting me in.
See, I...
Totally unnecessary, though. And it's
not, yeah.
It's almost, like, infuriating when somebody does that. Yes, I know you got lucky. It's like when you watch a baseball game and the guy has like a check swing, broken bat, base hit. You don't apologize to the pitcher who sawed you off.
Oh, I'm with you.
You take first base and you try to steal second.
But even if you want it, if you want the wave when you get let into the parking lot and you don't get it, like, don't get mad. I feel the same way here. Like, yeah, sure, give the wave. But if you don't, this is not worth berating somebody at midcourt after a match. That's stupid.
Yep.
My question is this. Ostapenko was in the wrong. Next match, if Townsend has a net cord, should she raise her racket?
No, she should give the point up.
I think she should raise her racket.
She should petition the sport to actually not get the point.
You're being silly.
Sort of. But
she should not raise her racket, depending on who the opponent is, because as you know, Steiny, a former high school tennis player, tennis is basically mental. And if you can get a mental edge, as I did in so many matches where I was overwhelmed physically, but I would win because my brain game was elite. And if I know that you want me to wave my racket, I'm not waving my racket. There are all these little things you can do, subterfuge, to win the match. So, no, don't raise your racket.
I believe that, and I'll in a very small way, it's just like, I get it. It's just an unwritten rule, but yeah, it's just more erosion of decorum in our society.
Hang on, I'm trying to get Guru to call in.
Well, he
texted me.
Are you allowed to use a phone on a train?
You know what's funny?
Of course you are.
He just asked me, is the number 888-957-957?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Look at how he responded. Look at how he responded.
I love
him.
And
I'm like, yeah, first of all,
no, I love
Guru
him.
Don't we all? He should use the guest line, but yes, that line will work. Yes, you can use the caller line. So I'm trying to get him to call in. I also like Bill Williamson's tweet. He just wrote, Dallas should have gotten more.
Is he still working for ESPN?
No, you notice what he did there? We don't know what they got.
Right.
And he already is saying they should have gotten more. In other words, it doesn't matter what the hell you get. You screwed this up. Wow, I cannot believe Micah Parsons is a Packer. And apparently the word is this deal has been worked on now for about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, because Micah Parsons has already tweeted out a thank you to Cowboys Nation, I didn't know that was a thing. He grew up in Harrisburg, Steiny.
Yes, he did.
And he went
to Penn State.
He goes on and on to talk about, this is a sad day, but not a bitter one. And thank you, Cowboy Nation, with gratitude and love, number 11, Micah Parsons. So, yeah, this trade has been worked on and finally announced and consummated today. And Micah Parsons is going to be wearing green and gold.
Wow. I like the Packers better than I did this morning.
It's hard not to.
I wasn't really big on them. I feel like they overachieved last year, but this changes things big time. Edge rusher, probably one of the four most important positions in the sport.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of the four best at that position the sport, you're right.
If you ask a coach, where do you want a great player? I think what's going on, Steiny? What's up?
Lucas goes, should the 49ers, I'm just messing. Should the 49ers have been in on Parsons? I said, what are you asking me for? Ask these guys. They're going to show.
He was telling you to ask them.
It is after 2 o'clock, Lucas, yeah. No, they should not have been. That's too much money.
Matt Schneiderman, Packer beat writer, is saying, according to his source, the Packers are trading at least 2 first-rounders to the Cowboys.
There's no way it stops there.
Well, he said at least.
Lord, that would be crazy.
Schneiderman, at least 2 first-round picks.
That almost could be like just an educated guess that he's definitely going to be.
He's got a source.
All right.
My source tells me that they're trading something to Dallas.
My sources tell me it's 2 first-rounders and more.
Yep.
Those are my sources.
That's what Schneiderman said, at least, which implies and more.
Trey Wingo is based, I think, in Dallas, right? Longtime NFL voice. Quote, if you had any doubts that Jerry Jones is the worst general manager in the league, you can let them go now. It's not even a debate.
So, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Jerry Jones needs to not be making these kinds of decisions anymore. Needs to be a delegation sensation.
Yeah, that's a buck right there.
And that buck is payable, too.
Wait a minute. Is Guru not called yet? I wanted you to be here when he called. Well, he hasn't called?
No. He.
Come on.
Probably in mourning.
All right.
If you
have to go, you can go. All right.
I have to get out of a meeting with a boss.
All right. We're going
to 95.7. Okay.